Good morning. Thank you for inviting me to present our study, Self-Reported Discrimination, Psychosocial Symptoms, and Modifying Factors Among Asian Indians in the Mediators of Atherosclerosis in South Asians Living in America, or MASALA study. I would like to acknowledge my co-authors, those who provided statistical support, and the two NIH grants that supported the MASALA study, and the NIH T32 grant for supporting my work in this. We have no financial relationships to disclose. So South Asians are a rapidly growing ethnic minority group in the U.S., and cardiovascular-related health disparities certainly exist for this population. However, social factors that may contribute to these disparities are poorly understood. Discrimination or exposure to everyday insults, racial slurs, or race-based violence is a problem for South Asians, and this may be a social factor contributing to poor health for this group. Discrimination has been reported to have health-harming effects among several other ethnic minority groups, but South Asians and Asian Americans in general are underrepresented in this literature. Therefore, discrimination, mental health, and moderation studies among this group are needed. So the purpose of our study was to evaluate potential associations between experiences of discrimination and mental health indicators, which were depressive symptoms, anger, and anxiety. And then we wanted to look at factors that might moderate these pathways among Asian Indian immigrants in the MASALA study. So our potential moderators were cultural beliefs, or traditional cultural beliefs that are specific to the South Asian experience. And this was sort of a proxy for closeness with the South Asian community. We also wanted to look at coping style and social support on these significant main pathways. We hypothesized a positive relationship between discrimination and all three of the mental health indicators, such that as discrimination reports increased, we'd see an increase in depressive symptoms, anger, anxiety. And we also hypothesized that higher levels of traditional cultural beliefs or that potential closeness with the South Asian community, increased social support, and utilizing an active coping style in opposition to a passive coping style, those would all be protective factors on these significant main pathways. So stress theory is commonly utilized in explaining links between discrimination, as stress triggers a cascade of physiological and mental health responses associated with disease. However, discrimination-related stress may be difficult to perceive, which is why we offer the conservation of resources theory as a complementary theoretical framework for our study. So CORE posits that individuals, are rooted into systems that vary in terms of psychosocial support. High resource systems may help individuals manage stressors that might not be directly perceived. So if you're sort of enmeshed in this high resource supportive system, these stressors may sort of be warded off in a certain way. So CORE theory may be especially salient for South Asians, as this group has been studied to have strong cultural beliefs, values, and resources that are shared by the wider South Asian community. Therefore, having these resources, as suggested by CORE theory, may be one pathway in which discrimination-related stress is mitigated. The data for this study came from the MASALA baseline study from 2010 to 2013. MASALA is a longitudinal cohort study designed to understand risk factors for cardiovascular disease in South Asians, and this study is cross-sectional and IRB approved. The MASALA study included 906 South Asians recruited from community-based sampling frames around San Francisco and Chicago. Clinical, behavioral, and rich psychosocial data were collected from participants. We isolated the Asian Indian U.S.-born cohort with a sample size of 747 for analyses, as we wanted to evaluate one unique South Asian group with the shared characteristic of being born in the U.S. Sample inclusion criteria were South Asians or Asian Indians between 40 and 84 years old. They need to speak or read English, Hindi, or Urdu, and were free of cardiovascular disease at baseline. So our predictor variable was discrimination and was measured through the widely used everyday discrimination scale. And the creator of this scale is right next door, Dr. David Williams. This is a valid, reliable, and widely used 9-item scale capturing experiences of unfair treatment. Lower scores reflect lower levels of discrimination experienced, and as scores increased, they reflect higher levels of discrimination. So example questions are, I'm treated with less courtesy or respect than others, I receive poor treatment in restaurants or stores, or people make fun of the way that I speak. These are all examples of these sort of chronic racial slurs or insults that South Asians may experience. So mental health indicators were measured on low to high continuous scales, with lower scores reflecting lower levels of mental health problems, and as we increased scores, they reflected poor mental health outcomes. Depressive symptoms were measured with the CESD 20-item scale, and example questions were feelings of restlessness, loneliness. The Spielberger anger scale was a 10-item measure, and example questions were being hot-headed or easily flying off the handle. And our last mental health indicator was the Spielberger anxiety scale, a 10-item measure, and example questions on that read, you know, do I feel nervous or restless often? So our moderators of potential significant main pathways were, first of all, cultural beliefs. And those are measured through the traditional cultural belief scale, which was developed by Kanaya and colleagues in 2014. This 7-item scale asked participants, to what extent do you believe South Asian traditions be practiced in America? Those traditions included attending religious ceremonies or rituals, living in a joint family structure, etc. Just want to note, this didn't measure particular behaviors of participants, but really if they just believe these traditions should continue on in the United States. Lower scores reflected higher cultural beliefs or higher affiliation with the South Asian community, and higher scores reflected lower cultural beliefs. So that was some inverse coding. Social support was measured continuously, with low scores reflecting low social support and high scores reflecting high social support. An example question reads, is there someone available to give you good advice about a problem? So for coping style, the binary coping measure utilized was asking participants if they accepted discrimination as a fact of life, or this passive coping style, I kept these experiences to myself, I didn't do anything about it, or did you try to do something about discrimination? Did you actively cope? Did you ask for help? Did you tell the authorities? Moving on to covariates, we looked at your traditional demographics, as well as years in the U.S., which is often used as a proxy for acculturation, English language proficiency. So we conducted Pearson's correlations, and all of the mental health indicators were positively skewed, meaning there was a very low level of mental distress in this cohort. So we had to log transform those data for analyses. There were 24 missing data points for income, so we had a final sample size of 733 Asian Indians. We utilized sequential multiple linear regression. So these were three-step regressions in three separate models with the three mental health indicators all separately as outcomes. And we entered conceptually related variables in a block-by-block fashion. The first block was comprised of demographics. The second were the acculturation-related social support variables. And the third step of these separate models, we entered discrimination to evaluate the effect that discrimination may have on the mental health of our participants above and beyond these covariates that were theoretically likely to have a large effect on poor mental health. So three separate interaction terms were created between the predictor, discrimination, and our potential moderators, cultural beliefs, social support, and coping style. Those were all entered into three separate one-step regressions as well. And then to test the direction in which the potential moderators influence these significant pathways, we conducted simple slopes testing. So getting into some of our findings. There's slightly more males in the study, and overall participants had high levels of education and income. There were slightly more participants from San Francisco. Participants were on average 55 years old and had lived in the U.S. for approximately 27 years. As you can see, the mental health indicators were skewed to the low end, as I had described, relative to the scale. Participants had average levels of traditional cultural beliefs. So on average, it sort of fell in the middle of having those traditional cultural beliefs. And participants in our study had high levels of social support. Discrimination scores trended on the low end, which translates to experiencing the various 9 items on the everyday discrimination scale approximately once a year. So each of those items were, if you look on average, experienced once a year. So the bivariate correlations were modest, yet provided support for our multivariate analyses. So our main findings demonstrated that higher levels of discrimination were significantly associated with mental health indicators after accounting for several other factors. So you can see here, for every unit increase in discrimination, depressive symptoms increased by 0.27. For every unit increase in discrimination, anger went up by 0.08. And for every unit increase in discrimination, anxiety levels went up by 0.10. And these are all at highly significant levels, as you can see on the lowest bar. So if you want to translate that, for every unit increase in discrimination, there was a 27% increase in depressive symptoms, 8% increase in anger, and 10% increase in anxiety after controlling for several other factors. When evaluating the potential moderating effect of cultural beliefs, social support, and coping style on these significant main pathways, we found that cultural beliefs moderated the discrimination and anger pathway. In addition, coping style moderated the discrimination and anxiety pathway. However, to our surprise, we did not find that social support moderated any of these significant main relationships. So given the continuous cultural beliefs-based interaction term, we couldn't interpret its effect on the significant pathway alone. So simple SOAP analyses were conducted to compare how high cultural beliefs, by shifting the traditional cultural beliefs scale one standard deviation below the mean, versus cultural beliefs at low levels by shifting the scores one standard deviation above the mean, influenced the discrimination and anger pathway. So high cultural beliefs was protective of the discrimination and anger pathway compared to having low cultural beliefs on this pathway. And I'm going to give you a graph that will hopefully depict this a little better. So you can see here, sorry, it's hard to move the mouse, that that as discrimination reports increase, anger also increases, and that if you have weaker cultural beliefs, or perhaps you're more distanced from traditional South Asian beliefs, that there is a steeper slope associated with having weaker cultural beliefs on the discrimination and anger pathway. You can see that by the heavier beta. So it's a 0.11 beta versus a 0.05 beta. For those who have strong cultural beliefs. So those with strong cultural beliefs, perhaps a little more protected by their traditional South Asian group, have a less, there's a less noxious link between discrimination and anger. So we also found that active coping buffered the discrimination and anxiety pathway, and passive coping exacerbated the link between discrimination and anxiety. So you can see here in the figure, you know what, I'm going to move this guy around. Perfect. Here we have the discrimination and anxiety pathway. As discrimination increases, so does anxiety. But this pathway is a little more, is actually deleterious for those who accepted discrimination versus those who did something about discrimination. And so the main effect regression line would run sort of somewhere through the middle here. But when you actively cope, you attenuate the link between discrimination and anxiety for this population. So Our first hypothesis was confirmed, consistent with previous studies on discrimination and mental health outcomes among other ethnic minority groups. Discrimination positively related to depressive symptoms, anger, and anxiety when controlling for several demographic, cultural, and social support related factors. And we found partial support for our second hypothesis. Associations between discrimination and mental health were moderated by cultural beliefs and coping style in the expected directions for two of the main pathways. So there's mixed findings on how cultural factors operate in discrimination and health pathways. First, there's a lot of inconsistency in terms utilized. So there's a lot of conceptual and measurement overlap between terms like acculturation, ethnic identity, cultural beliefs. So some studies suggest that having a stronger ethnic identity is protective of discrimination health pathways, and others have studied it that ethnic identity is harmful in coping with discrimination. So I'd like to iterate that we looked at traditional culture beliefs, which is not ethnic identity, it's not acculturation, it really is just that you believe these South Asian traditions should be carried on in the U.S. And this is the first time it's been considered in a discrimination health study. So I'd like to attenuate some of those findings. Active coping in the form of talking about or reporting discrimination to authorities, those may be health-promoting ways to manage experiences of discrimination. And that's consistent with the findings of Krieger and Sidney, Noah and Kaspar. That's something that we might strongly expect. So again, social support did not moderate associations between discrimination and mental health. So one reason that may be so is because the social support questions were highly skewed for this sample. So people had really strong levels of social support. There might have not been as much variability in that particular variable to demonstrate any buffering effects. So we're limited by the cross-sectional design here and reverse causation issues. It's not clear whether those having depressive symptoms or anger, maybe that relates to people perceiving more discrimination. Generalizability to Asian Indians who have high socioeconomic status, have lived in the United States for many years, and live in the Chicago area also limit our study findings. Our anxiety and CESD scale had less than desirable Cronbach's alpha or reliability levels. Small effect sizes in the moderation analyses, those smaller betas, although significant, they call into question clinical versus statistical significance. So is there really this huge difference between, you know, those who active or passively cope and, you know, have high or lower traditional cultural beliefs? Those are kind of small betas, but we just sort of wanted to outline that limitation. The study has strengths, given it's the first study we know to examine discrimination, health, and moderating factors in a large Asian Indian cohort. We disaggregated Asian Indians, a unique South Asian group for analyses here, shared cultural beliefs with the Asian Indian community, and active coping may be ways to attenuate links between discrimination and poor mental health. So implications of the study are that future research is needed to identify robust moderators. What clearly interrupts links between discrimination and health? And that's something that's been really hard to find. And we're looking because although these links may have small betas and, you know, we question the clinical significance, they are enduring among several ethnic minority groups and cut through socioeconomic advantage. So we really need to find something that interrupts discrimination and health outcomes, not only among South Asians, but really all ethnic minority groups. We also need to, as clinicians and health professionals, be cognizant of the potential link between discrimination and health among South Asians and offer appropriate counseling and care to many of these folks. That concludes my presentation.